Welcome to part three of Staying in Love. It's your four-week solution to solving all of your relational problems. Yeah, not quite, right? It's not quite that simple, but we sure wish that it was. But what we are trying to do is ask the question, how and is it possible and how might we stay in love and grow in love in our relationship for a lifetime? How might we continue to do that? What might Scripture have to say to us about that and for our marriages as we kind of go through life? So we've talked about a couple things, kind of a couple key principles. The first one in the first week was you need to make love a verb. You need to make love a verb. We looked at Jesus' statement about love, and he said when you love someone, that love is a verb. It's an action. It's something that you do. It's not some state you sort of fall into, which is kind of how we perceive it. It's action-based. So first we make love a verb, and then last week we got together and we said, well, what does that look like? What does it look like? And Jesus and Paul both said, look to Christ. He's the example of what it looks like when you put love into action. So we went and looked at Jesus' example and said, what does it look like when Jesus loves as an action? And it looks something like not having vain conceit, we said, or being so concerned about our own interest, but actually putting others' interests ahead of ours, or humbling ourselves and becoming a servant. It's the kind of love Jesus shows us, and so we model our love in action after him. So we talked about those two, and if you were here, if you listened to them online, how are you doing? Let me just check in quick. How's it going on those things? Have you been able to seek God in those in your own life? Have you begun to put them into practice a little in your relationship? I encourage you to keep doing that. They'll make a difference. They will help us to stay in love for a lifetime. This week, we're going to look at, I think, a great mystery to many people, at least in our culture, a great mystery surrounding marriage. One of those things that when you go camping with some buddies and you're sitting around a fire and you hear a story like this that happens, you go, why does that happen? That is crazy. How does that happen? Or you're sitting around at wherever women sit out at and you talk and you're talking and you go, how does that happen? What's going on? Here's what I'm talking about. How is it that two people who are deeply in love with each other, like infatuated, love, so much love each other, googly eyes, happy, butterflies, rainbows, like all that feeling, right? Like, I'm so in love with you. And they get married, and they're going to be with them forever and forever and forever. How do two people like that end up 5 years later, 10 years later, absolutely hating each other? How does that happen? How do people end up starting there and ending up not even be able to stand the name of the person, whether they are still married and just really struggling, or some who have ended their marriage? Even the mention, it seems like, of that person's name sends shivers down their spine. How does that happen? How does a marriage move that direction, and how might we move the other direction? I think if you asked couples that had been down that road, you said, this premise of the series, can we stay in love for a lifetime? I think they would say to you, well, I thought we could. When we got married, that's what I thought. But it's not that simple. It's not that easy, I don't think, they would say. It's a little more complicated than I thought at first. It's a little harder than I thought. And I would agree to them, with them to a pretty large degree, but I also think it could be that simple. I think it's possible that it could be that simple to stay in love and grow in love for a lifetime. Let me suggest to you that it'd be possible in this kind of a situation. It would be easy for us to stay in love and to grow in love if we didn't bring a whole lot of baggage with us into marriage. If we came to marriage with a heart that was already very, very full, very, very healthy, if we came to marriage and in our past there had been nothing but amazing, fantastic, encouraging, wonderful relationships, our parents were always supportive, they were at every game, every event, they always loved us for our entire life, they never let us down, we saw them holding hands and making googly eyes at 100 with each other, because they just loved each other like that their whole life. Our best friends never betrayed us or let us down. They were perfect in their companionship to us. Nobody in any relationship had ever taken advantage or abused us in any way. Our life was full of joy, acceptance, and affirmation. And then just by coincidence, our spouse had the exact same experience. And then we got married. I think it's possible that could be a pretty simple marriage to make work, because they're going to come into it with the attitude of, I'm already full, I understand, I've been supported and loved my whole life, and I'm just going to keep doing that with you, and you've done it, so we're going to keep doing it together. It could be simple. But most of us, as I even read that list, say, that's not how I came into marriage. That's not how I came into marriage at all. I came in with a lot of baggage. I did. I don't know about you. And we bring a lot of those things. And if I sat down with you and said, what are some things that you learned growing up that you brought into marriage with you? You'd probably could tell me some list of some stuff that's been a challenge. And even more than that, scripturally, biblically, we would say you bring a lot of other baggage with you. The baggage of being born in our human frailty and weakness and sinful state. And so we bring all of that stuff into marriage. And there's a principle in scripture that I think powerfully addresses this and helps us not to be a simple way to fix the problem, but to start to address the problem of dealing with all the baggage that keeps us and I think propels people from the point of love to years later not doing so well in their marriage. It's Proverbs 4:23. We're going to look at two verses today. One's in Proverbs 4, one's in Luke chapter 6, if you want to look at those two. Proverbs 4:23, I think it's one of the great verses for relationships of all kinds, but particularly for our marriages. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. One of the wisest men we believe to ever have lived is writing a book of wisdom, wise sayings to live by. He also then writes Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So he runs like the whole gamut of human experience. And he says, above all these things, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I think this is one of the most important things in our marriages and in our relationships. And you might say, why? Well, I'd love to demonstrate for you, so I'm really glad that you asked. If you've been on Facebook, I posted that you're going to get to meet an awesome couple this morning who is going to give us some really great wisdom about marriage. So I'd like to introduce you this morning to, firstly, Mrs. Mugg. There she is. Hello. And then equally as exciting as Mr. Mugg. Yes, there you go. Mr. and Mrs. Mugg. Look at them. They're cute. So Mr. and Mrs. Mugg. Now, you need to pretend that they're married now, right? But they met in college, and they got to know each other in college. Pretty normal relationship. He kind of looked at her and went, ooh. Yeah, and she looked at him and went, all right. Right? And then they kind of got to know each other, and she's like, oh, you know, he's got a career. Like, he's interested in some stuff. He's this is good. And he's thinking, well, she's really nice. Right? So they just kind of go along, and they're really careful because they like each other, so they want to be careful. So they're like, oh, it's nice to be close to you. Right? And they're real careful. You know, your relationship started like this. Come on. Mine did. So you're so careful, and oh, I love you. Right? So it goes on, and they're having a great time. They're dating. They move along. Pretty soon, they get married, and it's all exciting. Woo! They're still pretty careful, though. Well, then maybe a month later for some of us. Maybe for me, it was about 2 days later. Maybe for some of you, it was a year later. Maybe for some of you, it was years later. All of a sudden, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Mugg moving along. Then all of a sudden, oh, what was that? Where did that come from? And they look at each other and they go, you just bumped me. And all this stuff came out. And she says, well, if you wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have bumped you. And he says, well, when you bump me, then this comes out. And they do it again, right? And all of a sudden, they're looking at each other going, that didn't happen when we dated. And so she goes off, right? And she goes off with the girlfriends, and she says, I can't believe that he would do that. And when he does that, it makes me so mad. And then stuff comes out. And then he goes off. I don't know what men talk about, so we're probably watching a sports game, right? So we're probably like a Buffalo Wild Wings, half distracted, and we're saying, oh, just my wife does that to me, right? And I get so frustrated. What is she doing? And so they think about it because they're good people. So they think about it and they say, I got to think about this and be kind. So they come back together and they say, now look, when we were dating, you didn't act like that. None of this stuff came out of you. Where is this coming from? And she'll say to him, well, when you do this stuff, it makes me angry. And then we bump and stuff comes out. And he says, well, if you just wouldn't get angry, then I wouldn't do that stuff or whatever, right? I mean, you can picture these relationships happening. Maybe they've happened to you. They probably have. So here's the thing. Mr. Mugg is completely convinced that blue beads come out of Mr. Mugg because Mrs. Mugg hit him. And she's completely convinced that the red beads come out of her because he hit her, right? We all kind of think that. If you would just stop doing this, I wouldn't have any blue beads coming out of me. This is the thing, though. Why did the blue beads come out of him? It's an easy answer. That's what's in him, right? The blue beads come out because that's what's in Mr. Mugg. The red beads come out because that's what's in Mrs. Mugg. All of us bring into marriage a whole lot of beads. And some of those we're born with, some of those we learn in life. And a lot of times when we're in this like dating, like, oh, careful stage, we don't even know that they're there. It takes us a while. But then all of a sudden, we get hit and they come out and we go, whoa, you did that to me. I was not like that until you bumped me. I mean, that's what I've thought before. But the truth is, I was. It was in me. It just didn't come out until I had my first big bump. And for a lot of us, the first real big bump, tough thing in life is somehow connected often to some kind of romantic relationship. Whether that's marriage or when you start dating or whenever it is, the first real big place in life where all of a sudden your heart is exposed a lot of times happens in some kind of romantic relationship. And in that moment, we will all say, that wasn't me. I'm not normally like that. But what's coming out of us is coming out of us because that's what's in there. It's why Proverbs 4, I think, is so important. Because what Solomon is saying is you have to be careful to guard what it is that's inside. Because what's inside will come out. Jesus says the same thing. That's what Luke chapter 6 is, if you want to look at that verse. Jesus is going to say the exact same thing that Solomon is alluding to. Jesus says this, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And this is kind of the key right here. What you say, and you could say what you do, all sorts of things. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. You know, you can see this pretty clearly in other people. It's pretty obvious to you, even not your spouse, just pick someone. When you're talking with someone, it's pretty easy to see that the red bead came out of them and they are very unaware of it. Pretend you're talking to a friend who's married and you're married. And as you have this conversation, they come to you and they go, my husband, my wife, did da-da-da-da-da, and they're pretty upset about it. And they're ranting on it, and they're really frustrated, and they're upset. And you look at them, and you go, yeah, that was a problem. Like, they probably shouldn't have done that. But on a scale of, like, badness level, that's probably like a 4, if I could say like a 4 maybe. But you're reacting like it's a 10. And I don't know where the other 6 in there is coming from, but something's going on. And you look at them, and you don't say that because you don't want to, like, you don't want to hurt their feelings. So then you go back home, and then you say to your spouse, boy, I can't believe what Jenny did. She is so angry, and it's ridiculous. She's got a problem, right? I mean, because you see it, but you know where we don't usually see it is in our heart, right? We don't often see it in our own life. So the question for us, I think, is the same question that Solomon is getting to. How is things in your heart? Because I love this Andy Stanley quote, and it goes right along with what we're saying. He says, what's in you is going to come out of you regardless of who's with you. What's in you is going to come out of you regardless of who's with you. This is what Jesus is saying. What's in our heart, the overflow of our heart, will eventually make its way out. And a lot of times it'll make its way out when we get bumped. So Solomon says, be careful, monitor, guard, protect, look at, pay attention to what's going on inside. So a lot of times that sounds nice and like, okay, what does guard your heart mean? So let me give you a couple maybe strategies or things to do to help understand what's going on in your heart and be able to work through some of these things. So when the little beads come out, you can process that. Here's the first one. Try to put a name to what it is that you're feeling. Try to put a name to what it is that you're feeling. Okay, I'm a guy, so I'll use Mr. Mug. Guys are like, well, I'm angry. I'm frustrated, right? That's like the gamut of our emotion. Or I'm happy. Like, I'm happy or I'm angry. That's pretty much all that I am, right? Now, I'm not going to say the ladies are amazing at this, but typically you have more words than we have, right, for how you feel. But we typically have a couple. So I'm not saying, like, angry, frustrated, all that stuff, because when we feel those are like the surface level things, right? They're pointing to something in our heart that isn't right, and we can't express it anywhere other than to say, I'm frustrated, I'm angry. So what I'm saying is when I get bumped as a guy and my bead comes out and I need to stop and I need to say, why did I just do that? Why did that bead come out? I know that I'm angry, but is there something else to why that came out? Maybe for me it's that I'm embarrassed. Something happened in my relationship and now I feel embarrassed. Maybe I feel left out or unappreciated. And so when you do that thing, I really just feel very unappreciated. It's not, and I get angry then, right? But the real reason is I feel unappreciated. Or maybe I feel unlovable or ugly or like a failure, or I feel dumb or lonely or abandoned. I feel picked on. I feel jealous of the time that you're spending with someone else. And that's really why I'm getting angry. I feel disrespected in our relationship. There's a lot of words, but it takes us time sometimes to step back and say, why am I angry? Why am I frustrated? Why is this hard for me? Why did all of the beads fly out at my spouse one night? What is it that's going on in there that makes me feel that way? So I think the first thing you got to do is try to name it. Try to figure out what it is, because we can't really clean our heart out or protect our heart until we know what's going on in our heart. The second thing I think we need to do is actually talk it out, speak it out. So maybe first you just need to say that to yourself. Okay, I understand I am feeling unappreciated, and I have to say that to me so that I understand how I'm feeling. But you need to say it to your spouse eventually as well. You need to say to them, when this happens, I'm feeling this. I've thought about it. I'm feeling this. And it's not just going to them over and over and saying, I'm so angry, I'm so frustrated, you make me so mad, right? That's not what we need to do. We look at the beads and we look at them for a moment and we say, I've looked at it, I figured it out, this is what I feel. And then we go to our spouse and say, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm feeling. Because for most of us and most of the things that happen in our relationships, and I found this to be true for me in my marriage and in a lot of other relationships, because not just marriage, right? The beads that come out, so often when I've looked at them, they have nothing to do with my spouse. They have very little. Some of them do. There's some, I'll admit it. But there's a lot that don't. A lot of these things go back to how Nathan is. They go back to how I grew up. They go back to ways that I process the world. They go back to sinful things in my own heart. And I have to step back sometimes and say, why am I doing that? And then I have to go to Maria and say, this is why I think I'm doing it. And then let me give you a final bit of advice when that happens. If you're the spouse that's receiving, so Mrs. Mugg's bead comes out and she says, okay, I've thought about it and I think this is what's happening. And she comes to you and says, Mr. Mugg, when this happens, I feel very disrespected. Your correct response is not, well, get over it, right? Or you shouldn't feel that way. Or we'll change the way that you feel, right? Feelings are what we feel. We can't change how we feel. And the person has... your spouse, hopefully, has thought and said, this is why I'm feeling this way. I want to tell you so you know. Your response is, thank you. Thank you for telling me. Thank you for being honest enough to think about what's going on and to tell me that that's happening. And then just stop talking. Right? Because any of us, from every time a bead has come out of me, I don't know if this is you, but every time something in my heart has come out and I've been like, whoa, I gotta do something about that. And I spend some time thinking about it and I pray about it and I talk to God about it and I'm processing my bead, if I come to my wife or anyone and I say, look, I've been thinking, and I think when that happens, this is what happens. And that person just says, get over it. I'm like, well, that's not helpful. Like, I already feel bad enough about it, right? Like, I'm working on it. All I need you to do is acknowledge that you know that I'm working on it. And hopefully we'll get better. We'll keep praying about it, right? And God, I think God will work on it. Because these things have power over us. These beads that are in us, they have this power over us until they're out. Until we can get them out in the light of day, unearth them, and let God do the work in our heart. So we say, thank you for sharing. Thank you for telling me. Let me walk along with you as you process, but I'm not going to try to fix you. So, question. What beads have come out of you lately? Can you think back to some moments in your marriage? In your relationship? Has there been some going on? There might be. There's always a couple. Some big ones, maybe some really small ones. Have you stopped to look at why they're coming out? Have you grabbed a little bead and said, why did I do that? Why did I yell the way that I did? Why did I process the way that I did? God, will you reveal in my heart what's going on in there? Will you just bring to light the things in me that are causing me to respond this way so that, as Jesus said, out of the overflow of my heart, I'll speak. Will you even help me change those things so that when the bump happens, the beads that come out look like you instead of like the mess that I seem to be making with my beads? Solomon's advice is timely and important in our marriage. Above all else, guard your heart. Because what's in there will overflow into everything that you do. Jesus is exactly right. Whatever's on the inside flows to the outside. So what's going on inside of you? Are you paying attention to it? Specifically in your marriage. When you have those moments of difference or disagreement, when frustrations start to rise, are you looking intently at yourself first? Or is it real easy to see your partner's behavior and say, if you just fixed all that stuff, I sure wouldn't have any beads coming out. maybe the challenge is to say, for today at least, I'll say, what's my part in this? How might I guard my heart against this thing that's coming out? God, help me name the emotions that I'm feeling. Help me to express them clearly to my spouse. Help me to own them, to put a voice to them, and then let you start to transform them. Because as I unearth them and show them light and bring them out into the open, that's a little vulnerable and scary, but God works with those things when we do that. So God, help me to do that and make me more and more like Christ. So hopefully as we progress in life, the more we start to get bumped, the more our response to being bumped just naturally overflows with the love and the grace and the compassion of Christ, because he's actually changed our heart and we've been guarding it to keep it that way. I think this is a key thing for us to stay in love for a lifetime, to continue to grow and to build and just deepen that intimacy level with our spouses, to look at our own heart, guard it, see what's coming out, be honest about it, and talk to our spouses. And then when we're receiving that, to receive it well and walk alongside our spouse as they process. So guard your heart. That's the key today. It's the point. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. This is super challenging to me. God, I know any moment in my life when someone frustrates me, whether it's my spouse or anyone, my natural response is to just say, well, it's their problem, and if they'd stop it, it wouldn't come out of me. And I think your word is saying, I need to look at me, and I need to surrender my heart to you in places that I'm sort of holding it back. I need to be honest about the things that I'm feeling. I need to be honest about all those things. And so I pray for each of us in the room as we kind of go home and we process what's happening in our life and the moments when someone really bumps us and we really are able to see the contents of our heart kind of spill out on them. Will you allow us to grab a hold of that for a minute and step back and say, why did that happen? Will you give us wisdom in that moment to really understand why it happened? Maybe there's people in the past we need to forgive. Maybe there's parts of our relationship with people that we've grown up with that you need to heal.